Newcastle Jesse Cyphers is one fine young man. I love him. We've enjoyed him this summer. He has been our summer intern and worked with great distinction. He's done not just a little bit of everything, but a lot of everything. In fact, he even spent 1 week serving as our church secretary. Really. And did that well, too, along with everything else he's done. Jesse's soon, like Nick, to return to Moody to continue his education. But for this morning, he comes to teach us from God's Word, and it would be right for you to welcome him to Newcastle's pulpit, please.
Well, good morning. Would you bow with me in a word of prayer, please? Lord, thank you for this morning and the time that we're here to gather to give you praise. Be with us as we go through your word this morning, and that we would learn from it. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Well, there's a group I want to talk about with you this morning. And I want you to realize that they're concerned with an issue. And this issue is they're willing to fight for it. Their issue that they are concerned about is even in their title of this organization. And this group is called Pride Fighting. Some of you may know what that is, but it's a group of men that get together on occasion to fight each other. It's called mixed martial arts. This is where or in layman's terms, known as they punch and kick each other. Most of these men do this because of the pride that they have. They will try to tear another man apart so that they look better. They're looking to keep themselves in the spotlight and gain victory at any cost. Some of the men are concerned about their pride and are focused on themselves. As you come in this morning, or any other morning for that matter, what are you focused on? Are you focused on yourself? Or are you focused on God? Now, as you think on that, hopefully you are, turn with me to Luke 18. Starting at verse 9, going through 14. It's a good sound. All right, starting in verse 9. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes on all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. I want you to think about another question that we should ask ourselves. From this text here, can we see how Christ wants us to live? Can we see how Christ wants us to live from this text? Well, I think there is. There's three reasons how Christ wants us to live. The first of them would be that humility knows trust. This kind of trust is a total reliance upon Christ and denying that which we would have for ourselves. Jesus gives us a great example of what a lack of this trust looks like. So we look in verse 9, we notice that Christ is telling this parable to people who are prideful of the things they did. And the words described here, how they looked down upon people. They looked on them with contempt. because they didn't think they were as righteous as these people. Then we move on to verse 10. Christ starts off by with a parable here about two men, and they're going up to the temple to pray. One of them a Pharisee and one of them a tax collector. Christ first starts off then in verse 11 about talking about the Pharisee. But in order to get a better understanding of this passage, we need to understand what a Pharisee is. A Pharisee was one of the most respected individuals in the Jewish community. And in order to be considered a Pharisee, you separated yourself from the rest of the world and fully devoted to the law of God. Now the Pharisees looked forward to the coming of Messiah, and everything they did was focused on the law and the coming of the Messiah. So now we have that background on the Pharisees, we need to look at some background on the temple that the Pharisee is going into. Now the temple, the first temple was where God's presence was. But that was destroyed in 587 BC. That was a long time ago. Then it was reconstructed and it was destroyed again in 70 AD, not so long ago. Still far away. But at this point in the story, this hasn't happened, the second destruction. So in this passage, Luke 18, where this occurs in the second temple. Now the Pharisee goes up to the front of the temple to pray. He does this to be noticed. He wants to be seen. The front of the temple is where the Holy of Holies would have been located. It was a symbol of where God's presence dwelt. Now, the fact that the Pharisee wanted to go up to the front where the Holy of Holies isn't necessarily bad in itself, but the act that he had in mind was that of selfishness and looking at himself. The phrase that we see in verse 11, in the translation that I read from, it says, he prayed by himself. Other translations say he prayed to himself. And this means that the prayer that he offered up to God really wasn't to God. It was more or less patting himself on the back for what he's setting up to say here. All the things. We should look at this as not a prayer to God, but rather just a speech that he gives. Now the Pharisee trusts in the things that he has done well, and he thinks they make him great. In verse 12, he states that he fasts twice a week. Now in Old Testament law, we see that fasting was only required once a year. That would have been on the Day of Atonement. And that was, we can see that from Leviticus 16:29. So for the Pharisees to want to fast twice a week continually was the fact that they wanted to go above and beyond the law of God. They weren't trusting in God's provision on that day of fasting. Again, we move on and see that the Pharisee states that he has tithed on all that he gets, or all that he has. If we look again at Old Testament law, tithing is considered as giving of the first fruits of crops and livestock. And another reference for that is Deuteronomy 14:22-23. The Pharisee again is trying to show that he's going above and beyond what the Old Testament law required. When it comes down to it, the Pharisee trusted in himself as he was expressing outwardly here in his speech. Now look back in verse 9 with me. In the parable that Christ is telling here, he's telling it to those who trusted in themselves. Now my description here of the Pharisee, that he trusted in himself in this parable, seems awful similar. And I think that the reason that is because the people Christ is talking to here are Pharisees. Christ is trying to get their attention and show them what they are doing wrong. Look around this morning to those here sitting with you. Are you thinking, man, I'm sure glad I'm not as bad as they are? I'm so much better than they are. We need to learn here that Christ wants us to live humbly in God's presence because it is wrong to trust in ourselves and be prideful. Has there ever been a time where you've patted yourself on the back and thought highly of yourself? What would the correct response be? Give the Lord all the praise right then and there so you don't become too self-dependent and arrogant? Has there ever been a day where you haven't even stopped to think about God? It seems like a small thing to just go about our day. But at the root of it, we're trusting in ourselves. Now, a few years ago, when I was working at what used to be called Bank Plus, I was running some checks through the back of, through a machine. I won't bore you with those details. But it happened to be around 3 o'clock, and I realized that I had not even thought about the existence of God that day. Now, I wasn't intentionally trying to deny the existence of God by not thinking about him. But the root of it is that I was trusting in myself in that day, and that I could depend upon myself for all that I needed. And the groundwork for that is pride. And I didn't trust in God alone. Only humility knows true trust. Now, those men in pride fighting that I mentioned at the beginning, they trusted in themselves. They had hard work and dedication that they put into their training. Shouldn't we just work just as hard as they do? But rather than thinking of ourselves, trust in God's faithfulness. Now, not only does Christ teach us here in this parable that humility knows trust, but he also wants us to recognize that humility knows true worship. True worship is where we seek to give God and God alone all the glory and all that we have to offer. We don't praise ourselves, but we humbly realize that we have nothing to offer but that which he already has. Now, this true worship can be seen when we look at the tax collector and the way he comes before God. Again, like we did with the Pharisee, we need to find out what a tax collector was. Tax collector, or known as a publican for some of you with different translations, is a person who worked for the Roman government and relied upon them for their financial security. Now, a tax collector went around collecting money from those who lived in the region and partook of the security of the Roman Empire. Jewish tax collectors would have chosen to forsake their Jewish heritage for two reasons, and probably many more. The two I want to point out would have that a tax collector would have had to have worked on the Sabbath, which is a direct disobedience to the Old Testament law, and they would come in contact with Gentiles, which again was disobedience to the Old Testament law. So they would have been despised among the rest of the Jewish community for the work that they did. So we need to look at verse 11 then and see that there's a complete contrast to the Pharisee. We see the tax collector in the back of the temple, humbled before the presence of God. The Pharisee was in the front of the temple. The tax collector didn't think that he was worthy enough to hold even his head up, because he realized the sin in his life. He doesn't do any comparisons or look down upon those who he's there praying with. He makes a statement of him being a sinner. Other translations phrase that as the sinner. And what he's in his mind saying, if there was ever a person in the world that would be classified as a sinner, it would most definitely be him because of what he has done. But for the tax collector to come before God in this situation would mean that he understood that God could provide the mercy that he sought. And God does provide it. We need to realize that we are continually in need of this mercy that God provides. And I believe that that isn't an act of true worship. The prayer that the tax collector offers up is a praise to God. The cry of his heart is to give God praise. He's asking to be consumed from the inside out. Now we need to draw from this verse that Christ wants us to live humbly in God's presence because it is the only way to approach God. Think with me. Have you prepared yourself for this service this morning? Are you focused on yourself and what you will get from this service? Or are you praising God because he alone deserves that worship? Now, on the way home Monday evening from work here at church, I was heading down Chaffer Road, and I looked out towards the west, and I looked out towards the hillside, and the sun beating down, and I was just struck at just what was taking place, just, you know, beautiful sunset starting to happen, and I was humbled in that situation. I was realizing the magnitude that God has. I felt tiny, but yet understood that God was involved in my life. Another moment was on Wednesday night after VBS. I was walking in the south parking lot with my mom, and she mentioned, again, the sunset. It looked like cotton candy in the clouds. It looked beautiful. And again, I was humbled and realized that God had great things. But we aren't supposed to just be in awe of God and humbled before him when we see great things in his creation. It's a good time to. But we need to be able to approach God at other times too. Now Christ has taught us that humility knows trust and humility knows true worship. But the greatest teaching of Christ in this parable is that humility knows the consequences. Now, in the end, all that really matters is whether we are in right standing with God or are we not in right standing with God. Verse 14 here gives us the outcome of this parable. Maybe those in the temple would have been thinking or looking at the Pharisee and thinking, wow, look at that guy. He's really worshiping God. I wish I could be as good as he is. Or maybe they look at the tax collector in the back of the temple and think, wow, why is that guy here? He can't really be worshiping God, can he? Christ's listeners would have been shocked by the outcome of this parable. They would not have seen this verse 14, even coming. They would have expected that the Pharisee would have been commended. Because again, this parable is spoken to Pharisees. The big kicker, though, is that the tax collector is justified. He is justified. This man who is despised among his own people is cleansed from his unrighteousness. Christ has declared him pure and holy and a child of God to dwell with him eternally. You know what? We can have that right standing with God, if we place our trust in him. The contrast continues as we note that the Pharisee was not justified because he is not humble before God's presence. Now we look at the end of the verse, and it summarizes the parable in what is known as a paradox. It's a little off the wall, but then again, that's what a paradox is here for. Self-contradictory statement that contains a nugget of truth. We look at verse 14, it's the second half. says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humble." And hopefully we can draw from the text that the person who exalted himself would have been the Pharisee. And Christ here notes that he will be humbled in the end. And then he moves on to say that the one who humbles himself will be exalted. And again, we can note from the text that the tax collector is the one who is humble before God and has been exalted and will continue to be exalted. We can tell that from this example of the tax collector and the Pharisee that it's the attitude of the heart that God is concerned about. The tax collector comes humbly before God and sincerely asks for forgiveness, but the Pharisee depends upon himself and neglects God. We can see from the outside looking on in this passage what took place in the end. The Pharisee went home still thinking highly of himself and hadn't changed, whereas the tax collector went home changed for the better. The parable is left unfinished, verse 14. We don't know what's going to come about the faith of the tax collector. We don't know what's going to come about the fate of the Pharisee. But we can recognize here that this gives us an opportunity to realize that we are living this out in our lives. Each and every one of us is in the process of finishing that story. Which path are you on? Are you on the path of the Pharisee? Or are you on the path of the tax collector? Now, I've talked about three reasons. Hopefully you caught them. If not, I'll summarize. Humility knows trust. Humility knows true worship. And humility knows the consequences. The thing we need to ask is, when are we in God's presence? Are we in God's presence on Sunday mornings here worshiping? When we're at work? When we're at school? Or how about in our quiet time? The humble attitude that we should have should be at every moment. And from this, we can see that humility is acted out in all facets of our life. We not only need to approach God in humility, but we need to serve God in humility. When the high school group was on its way back from Alabama, we stopped in Memphis. Now, a few of us were walking down the street and noticed a man doing street evangelism. He had a poster. It was attached to a pole. Stood over 10 feet high, probably. Now, on that poster that he was taking with him, it said, "Jesus Christ is either a liar, a lunatic, or God." Now, I'm pretty sure that there were people that walked by this man and mocked him because he was doing this. People that don't know Christ as their Savior. But this man had made up in his mind, in his heart with God, that he would be willing to humble himself for the service of God. Now, maybe that's not your niche. Maybe that, I know that that particular way of evangelism is not mine. Not comfortable at this point in doing that. But I think that we should all find out what that act of service that we could do is, and then do it. Christ wants us to live humbly in God's presence because we are not to be proud and trust in ourselves. We are to be humble in our approach to God, and we have the hope of the justification that God will provide us. Now, the focus we need to have in order for it to be correct is the opposite of some of those men in pride fighting, or the Pharisee for that matter. As you leave here today, I'd like you to think on and talk with your friends and family. Are you focused on God, or are you focused on yourself? Now, the only way to be focused on God is to be humble in his presence. And in the end, Christ will exalt our humility. Bow with me in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for your word this morning. And I pray that we would live humble lives before you and realize that it's because of you and all that you do. And as we leave and go our ways, that we would not become proud or arrogant or neglect thinking on you, Lord, and worshiping you. So just be with us as we leave. And you be the focal point in our life. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.